From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. There are no hidden fees or price hikes, and all websites are optimized for mobile, which is real important. And it's so simple. You start with a design template and you use drag and drop tools to make it all on your own. It's incredibly easy, trust me. So if you're trying to make a website, head to squarespace.com/read for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code READ to save 10% off your first purchase. Go give it a try. Let's move on.
Hey, y'all. This episode is also brought to you by The People's Lawsuit, which is a coalition of abortion funds and providers in Texas who have come together with a groundbreaking legal challenge against a web of burdensome abortion restrictions. They are fighting so that all people, specifically Black people, Indigenous, other people of color, queer and trans, low-income folks, teens, people living in rural communities, all of them in Texas, can access quality healthcare without any barriers or stigma. So join them in their fight at peopleslawsuit.org/Texas Values. That's TXVALUES. Go check out People's Lawsuit. All right, let's start the show.
Well, don't call it a throwback. Get it? Because it's Throwback Thursday and the show used to come out on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, I guess now I do get it. Okay.
Yeah. Double entendre.
Really love your French. Can never get enough of it.
Welcome back. I'm Waldo Geraldo Faldo.
And I am Rudy Huxtable. This is The Read.
It is indeed. Welcome back. And this CP time version of the podcast. Did I ever tell you about the time that I got cussed out at a premiere for something for saying that we were on CP time? Remind me to tell that story another time. It's not important now. It offended some bougie Black woman in the back of the audience.
Oh, Lord. Anyhow. Okay.
So, welcome back. We're going to start things as normal with our Black excellence, which goes to a 10-year-old from Philly by the name of Mika Idris and his homemade lemonade mix, which is pretty much famous at this point. He started a stand on the sidewalk back in March of last year, and with his mom's support and a couple of bucks used from the over 1,500 bottles of lemonade he was able to sell.
What?
They turned
these children, my God.
They were able to turn the lemonade stand into a mobile situation when the mom bought like an old school bus from a private school. And yeah, so they basically turned Mika's mix into an on wheels lemonade mix, you know, bonanza extravaganza. And it says here that they have over a dozen different flavors. He started when he was just 8, and they've got 3 corner stores that carry the drinks. Like, I want
Shut
some so bad.
Up, how cute. Like, this reminds me of little Black girl who did the same thing and her fucking lemonade is at Whole Foods.
Right, exactly. It reminds me of that same thing, too. And you know we love a lemonade, especially a mix.
Okay, and don't tell me you got flavors, too. What kind you got?
Over a dozen, bitch. Like, what flavor does he not have?
I know you got mango.
That's what I'm saying. Some flavors are just promised. So, I thought this was awesome. They have a GoFundMe up because they're trying to turn the bus into, like, a legit food truck. And to be able to sell more drinks in more locations and also provide free batches of the mix to unhoused people across Philly. So I'm going to put a link in the description if you want to go and support them over there. I thought that story was awesome. So thanks for the smile and the good spirits over there.
Yes, congratulations.
Philly. Okay, let's get into the garbage this week. And Hot Tops, Boy Skeets World. Let's begin.
Oh, Father God.
I'm proud of that word.
Oh, yeah. No. Deleted Jesus.
So, the The verses of a lifetime finally happened. Keisha Cole and Ashanti were able to sit their asses down and just do this shit. Finally. I did not watch, but I hear it was not without drama and shade. And I heard Keisha was having a rough night. She was apparently over an hour late because they told her that if she went out there before that, she was going to look like Teddy Riley. That's what I read. That was told to her. I'm not joking.
Like, what does that even mean? They told her.
You remember Teddy Riley's old scuffed ass, ashy ass, band-aid on the knee ass bullshit that he did where nothing was working? They said her shit was going to be blurry and there was stuff.
Oh, right.
Like technical difficulties.
Right. Okay.
So they told her to chill out, basically. And I know that she was steaming. Like, if she wasn't already smoking a blunt wherever they had her sitting, she definitely rolled one up when they told her that shit because she was already pissed. They didn't push this shit back two times for some shit that had nothing to do with her.
Right. Now, I don't even want to be here no more.
Right, I don't even want to do this goddamn shit at this point. Got all into hair and makeup for no reason. So then they finally, I guess, got her shit situated. She goes out. They're beginning to do the thing. Both women look beautiful. And then there was some shade with sponsorship because apparently Ashanti got a Ciroc deal or something. Some sort of a sponsorship
deal.
Yeah, for the verses that they did. Whereas Keisha did not. And Ashanti literally laughed in her face about it live on Instagram for like what, over 6 million followers or some shit.
What?
So yeah, all in all, good time. It sounds like everyone had a blast. Keisha even brought out one OT Genesis to sing Love with her. And also apparently reveal that they've squashed their beef, which is shocking.
Music to my ears. That is the one clip from this versus that I want to see. I can't believe I have not heard about this. I need to Google that.
He literally came crisp out of nowhere. Ashanti had no idea he was coming. They would guess it was a surprise for them. I also read that he's the one who told her that she was going to be looking crazy if she went out there. So I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, yeah, apparently they put their shit to the side, which again shocked me because he said some foul shit about Keisha Cole when she was, you know, vocal about not appreciating his ghetto gangster remixes to her ballads that we enjoyed.
I loved it. I randomly sing that all the time.
They're great, you know. his comments towards her and some of the shit that he was saying afterwards, not so much. Like, he legit ruined it after a point by just being like,
I didn't even hear that
a misogynistic
part.
Asshole. Of course, yeah,
he kind of just got so bad. Yes, of course. It happened. But like
I guess that's all water under the bridge at this point, or Ciroc under the bridge.
I mean, I tried with that versus, but I think neither one of them was out after like an hour. So, you know, it's only so many times I'm going to open up Instagram to see if y'all done started yet. Like, I'm an old lady. I could be taking a nap or going to bed altogether. Amen. So, yeah, I missed that one, but I do want to. Did he sing it live? You don't know.
No, I saw the clip of that. He did come out and like share the mic with her to sing the goddamn song. And it was very funny. And good for them for squashing it or whatever.
Good for y'all. I wonder who won. What was the general consensus?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I can't really.
I know. I bet he watched it.
He'll probably know. So I also read apparently Drake wants to see an Usher and Justin Timberlake versus.
Why? Why?
You know, that's right before Z.
Why does Drake want to invite white people to versus? Why do you want to do that?
I thought we were just having fun as a family.
Oh no, we're not having fun no more. Doritos and Ciroc are sponsoring this shit now. It's very
cool. Oh yeah, very, very true. I also read that Swizz Beatz wants to do a Tupac and Biggie versus.
Leave me alone.
Like,
that's just a DJ playing a set.
Let's do Elmo versus Barney. When does the hot shit get started? Let's get it spicy and do Jim and the Holograms versus Josie and the Pussycats. Let's really spice it up. I don't care about this shit no more. But y'all are having fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the numbers that these things bring in for viewership, like breaks giant. Records yeah. every single time they do one. So I am clearly in the minority of people that don't give a fuck about Versus anymore. But as long as y'all having fun, and I'm sure, you know, the Von Dutch and Apple Bottom Baby Fett sneaker wearing crew had a good time at some point. And probably called somebody to recuss them out, you know.
Probably so, because Ashanti and Keisha both have songs that will make you do that. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. I do enjoy Versus usually, but I mean that one. I'm just not gonna wait an hour plus for y'all to start this show. I'm not gonna.
No,
do
that's
it.
Reasonable.
I'm not gonna do it. Not even at home waiting on the couch. Mm. Like I just have a million other things I could be doing instead. I'm just going to play Mario Kart online with the niggas in Japan who beat my ass every time. And I'm going to just do that.
Because I could definitely see after a crisp 10 to 15 being like, oh, girl, and just swiping off.
Like, that is enough from you. Right. That is enough, sister.
So apparently there's a Salt and Pepper biopic that came on Lifetime. It exists.
Where have I been? Have I just not been around this week at all?
I found out about this the day after it came out. And I want to say that I was like walking from the grocery store or some shit and I saw like an ad for it somewhere. And I was like, yeah? Really?
Dead ass. You dead ass?
Okay. Well, that. Well, one Spinderella, the DJ, famous for being one third of Salt and Pepper, is very upset because she was not included in the bag, essentially. She tweeted,
how y'all leave her out? Oh my God.
Right?
Okay.
She said, sorry, but I got to speak on this Lifetime special. Too often, Black women who have made meaningful contributions in their industry are left out of historical narratives. Back when Salt and Pepper was building our legacy, which is rooted in empowering women, I could not have dreamed that this same group would one day disempower me. My Jesus.
Damn.
Words cannot fully express my disappointment when I learned a decision was made to move forward with a Lifetime biopic that wrongfully excluded me from every aspect of development and production, all the while using my image throughout, given that I played an integral role in the group's story and success.
Dude.
There's nothing more unacceptable than a woman being silenced by another woman. It is for this reason I will not support
it. Oh, that triggered me. Sorry.
Well, damn. She did say that, you know, she offered congratulations to the actress Monique Paul who played her. She said, I wish I could have had an opportunity to share my true perspective with her. And yeah, she's going to get back to her own journey, writing her memoir and living her life as Spin. Mm-hmm.
I'm just so confused. Yeah. So the other two were involved in like the...
Yeah, they were... EPs.
Oh no. How did this?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, it must be some drama between the three of them that I don't know about, but that just seems like, did y'all think she wasn't going to say nothing? That y'all was going to make a whole ass movie about this group and have every nigga tweeting her and Instagramming her about it? And she was just going to be like, oh yeah, tune in Lifetime Tuesday at 9 or whatever. Just.
Like, who was the target demographic? Because you have to know that we know who Spinderella is.
Right. You would have to, anybody who's watching a fucking Salt and Pepper movie, you would have to assume that they know the three women who were in the group.
Again, I didn't watch the movie, so I don't know if, like, her role in the film was, like, you know, like if they sort of minimized her role in the group, if she was sort of left out in terms of the journey, the story, the narrative.
Or if they made her look real stink.
Or if it's a thing where she is just upset that she wasn't involved to give any sort of critique, you know, because it doesn't sound like she's saying like, oh, like that never happened or I did way more than this. It just sounds like, damn, girl, like... You know, it was the three of us, and you know that I was a real important part of it. Like, why couldn't I come in and have a say on how, you know, this person playing me should play me? Which still makes a lot of sense.
Especially because the other two were fucking EPs on the project. It's different.
Exactly.
It would be different if it was a completely outside, you know, project, right, and nobody involved with the group was involved with the creation of this movie. But that is clearly not the case. So,
right.
Yeah, I see where she's coming from. That's kind of stank.
No shade, though. When I first read like the headline about this, I was like, child, if it were me, I would be happy for not being in as much of a Lifetime movie as possible.
That's a good point, because most of their biopics are not, right, that great. So,
like, I want to, like, can someone help me remember a good one?
I want to say the Clark Sisters.
Oh, yeah. Was that a Lifetime one?
Ooh,
if it was, it then yeah.
But it was also way too short, and they crammed a lot in. Like, they skipped, right, decades. Oh, but they did that with the other one, too. Who was, you know what? And I get it, because there's time constraints and it's TV and all that, yeah, but maybe the Clark Sisters was Lifetime. Maybe.
Well, anyhow, yeah, that doesn't sound very, very fun or fair. So good luck and God blessings to,
yeah, sorry, Cinderella. Sister.
That sucks. And again, like, that, I mean, I watched the trailer for the movie and everything, and I was like, this is not for me at all. Not how I want to spend.
Ooh, it was Lifetime.
Like, okay, well then, yeah, because I know people enjoy
it. Good job on that one.
So Trey Songz was recently arrested at a.
This I did see.
Clearly. He was at a game, Kansas City Chiefs versus Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead Stadium, where he allegedly had the security called on him for not following proper COVID,
yeah,
you know, guidelines, rules, whatever the fuck, aka not wearing a damn mask.
Yep. That's what I thought.
So, in some footage, you can see Trey Songz being approached by security, then the police, and a scuffle taking place. Now, I read on a number of places that Trey swung on this police officer first when he was attempting to detain the singer. The video that I saw at first mostly showed, like, after the scuffle began, mm-hmm, and Trey Songz having this white man in a respectable headlock. I'm talking about, like, nigga, are you the Winter Soldier? What the fucking...
officer?
And he's alive. He's alive.
That's what I'm saying. I saw the picture of him sitting in the jail.
So, yeah, I'm not even sure what's what. All I know is that after being released, the nigga posted a photo of himself on a private jet somewhere with a caption that said something to the likes of Chiefs game was crazy, right? Something like that. So oh, I, on one end.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On one end, I want to be like, nigga, are you seriously out in black ass motherfucking wide open public and niggas have to tell your famous ass to put a goddamn mask on? It would be one thing if you were just whoever the fuck dick in the corner and, you know what I'm saying, you still are probably going to get dragged for it, you know what I'm saying? But like, everybody's going to be looking at you, nigga, you're famous. Right. Like, so like, what, where is the audacity even coming from? So I want to be like, nigga, like, for real, this is what we're doing. And then on the other hand,
niggas,
that was a solid headlock, nigga. Like, I don't know what in the fucking Legion of Doom happened to this nigga. Like, the R&B Nightwing. I have never, like, there was no stopping him. It was uproarious. I just couldn't.
I really can't believe he swung on an officer first and put that nigga in a headlock and, like, walked away, like was able to breathe after them. My mind is blown right now. I just saw him sitting in a jail cell looking like,
yes,
like a giant toddler, kind of like he was in the middle of crying, yes, or singing or something. He didn't look sad. It wasn't like, yeah, tears streaming down his face, but I just saw that photo and was like, how did we get here from an NFL game that shouldn't have been happening anyway?
It was giving me Lovecraft Country, like the ancestors just were in. Like, they dove deep in and he just fought them with all of the strength of those before us.
What is it going to take for Trey Songz to sit his ass down?
Trey Songz was also at Bow Wow Weekend.
I was going to say, this is like the third or fourth story we have heard of him doing something fucking stupid in COVID.
Oh my God.
And he was part of Bow Wow-a-palooza. And I did see Bow Wow's tweet. He said he was the easy fucking target. Everybody comes after him because he's the big name. Please get up.
Bow Wow Police is the best one. That was really good.
That boy, so, he's deluded.
Maybe he's a COVID denier. Maybe he's like one of the people on Facebook or whatever that just don't believe
it. How you have it and don't believe it. You had it. That ain't it either. He enjoying that immunity. That's what he doing. Because that's what a lot of niggas are doing. They catch it. They get over it. And then they're like, oh, fuck you. I'm finna go kick it. So,
like, that's still not how it works. Like, you're not at a house party that you threw with your fellow we don't cares. Like, you're literally in public. And like, and then like, whatever, I don't know, I'm just, oh God, can it be done?
I'm super over this pandemic.
Never thought I'd talk about this girl Dani Leigh on the show. Dani Leigh? Dani Leigh? Dani Leigh?
No clue.
So she's most known for at the moment being rapper The Baby's girlfriend, who famously had some sort of a tryst with The Baby while he was with his child's mother. And yeah, now they go together. So this girl shared on her Instagram, I believe, a snippet of some new song she's got coming out called Yellowbone. And in what I assume is the hook of the song, you can hear in the clip, she's singing... singing?
Is that what she does? I don't know.
She says, yellow bone, that's what he want. Like, over and over again. Yellow bone, that's what he want. I'm trying to figure out if I start with, like, the specifics or, like, the clear, obvious part of it. Okay, so, like, obviously, you know, colorist, disgusting, pointless, unnecessary, sure. Also, we know that The Baby's baby mother is not a yellow bone at all. Mm-hmm. So it feels like, you know, offensive for all of the general reasons, and then also, like, I guess, taunting for whatever fucking reason. Anyway, they dragged her ass to hell and back for it. She said on Instagram, why can't I make a song for my light-skinned baddies? Why y'all think I'm hating on other colors when there are millions of songs speaking on all types? Why y'all so sensitive and take it personal? Goddamn. She also said, congratulations, y'all got another thing to say about me when you hate. It's all good. Only God can cancel me. That shit doesn't mean shit to me because the people around me are the ones that know my heart and intention and real life. I'm sorry if I offended you. That's not how apologies work.
Not ever. And
you don't say, fuck y'all bitches. None of y'all bitches gonna do shit about me. Only God can cancel me. Suck my whole dick. Sorry.
I just saw that she was born in Miami and that she is Dominican.
That has nothing to do with me.
I know that it does not.
Okay.
But I also see here on Glamour.com that she is not actually Black. She is a white Dominican or a white Latina who is from Miami, which is, she's far from the only one. But if she is actually white and decided that she gets to be light skinned because she's Dominican, I'm really confused still because yellow bone, like that, you just a white bone. Yellow bone girls, yeah, that's a term for black people. Yeah. You may have grown up hearing it because you was around a bunch of niggas, but you can't make a song celebrating your fellow light-skinned baddies because you're not one of them.
Also, it is terrible. Like, it's again, quite obviously offensive and pointless. And it is completely incorrect that there are millions of songs speaking on all types, as she claims. You know, goddamn 95% of the songs are lyrics in rap or wherever the fuck. When you're talking about skin tones, they're talking about light-skinned women. And then maybe 3% of them are non-black women of some kind. And then maybe that other percentage is dark-skinned women. And that small 2% or whatever, them rappers be like Jidenna. Or like Wale, or some other rap nigga that clearly reads books.
Not DaBaby.
Right. So
who I'm sure said something stupid as fuck about this whole situation. I don't even want to know what he said about his wife.
He
girl.
Left a comment of like three yellow. I can't tell if he's
not the yellow heart. No.
Some shit's like underneath it.
Gross, nigga. What like, is this?
Of course. Like, whatever. But again, like,
you cannot enjoy men. They will disappoint you every time.
It is offensive and awful, and it sucks. It's so bad. Like, it's also like a horrible, like, it sounds terrible. Like, the beat is bad, the sound of her voice, the mixing, everything about it just
not
sucks.
Even a good
this
song
shouldn't
about
have
light
happened
skins.
Who cares about you? Who, like, where, who, and who, why did nobody say, hey, hey, sis,
yeah,
let's not do this?
Because that's a really good question.
It's a bad look. It's tired, antiquated, destructive ass point of view. And it sounds like doo-doo. So let's do something else. Like, why did no one do that for you?
Yeah, I can't cancel somebody I was never subscribed to. So we.
You met her too.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I've met a lot of white people in my life. When was this?
Remember that one time we was at we were at Essence Fest, so we was like waiting to go do the press shit, and they had us waiting back there for about three goddamn solid weeks. Mm-hmm. And then
yes,
we were by them carts or whatever. We was waiting to like figure out which cart we were getting into, and we were standing. There was like a girl there that was an artist, and the only reason we knew she was an artist is because Asante recognized her.
Oh, of course Asante did. He knows every artist.
That was her.
Oh well, see, I wouldn't.
Fun fact for you.
I would have gone the rest of my life thinking I had never laid eyes on this woman. It changes absolutely nothing. But okay,
Asante like recognized her, went and spoke to her because you know he's like gregarious and ready to go and chat. So he like he went to go chat her up and like said her name or whatever, and I recognized the name, so I was like, oh okay, I knew who that is. And Crystal Solid was like, okay, so where do we go?
Right, like, so where is the person to take us to do the like, press so that I can go to the lounge and start drinking like that? I got my wristband, I'm ready to hold it up under the ultraviolet light or whatever. And I'm ready to get this fucking party started.
It was so funny too, because Alex was right there, so she was like trying to be like, you know, like, oh okay, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that was, I just did. But she was like trying to like be like, oh okay, cool, like, oh, this is, you know, Sante and the Reed or whatever. So it was like a little moment.
Wow.
I don't even know why I'm
the
still talking about
this. The fact that I don't
this
remember this
but
at
you
all.
Like, because you solid iced that bitch out. Like, you were like, I do not care about none of this shit that y'all bitches are talking about. When can we be done with this?
I mean, it sounds like me, so.
So, Kodak Black is out of prison. He received a pardon on Chester Cheetah's way out. So did Lil Wayne, apparently.
Of course.
That shit that he had, he was dealing with. And yeah, Kodak Black is free, back on the streets. He tweeted, I want to thank the president, Donald Trump, for his commitment to justice reform and shortening my sentence.
Girl!
I also want to thank everyone for their support and love. It means more than you'll ever know. I want to continue giving back, learning, and growing. And then he tagged someone who is probably his lawyer. I don't know who that is. So yeah, he got a new song out, and I can't wait to see how much growth he's gone through how he will prove not only to the justice system, but to himself and to the doubters that he's a changed individual. I can't wait to see him give back to the community and stay out of trouble and not be involved in anything that could be controversial or destructive or at all, you know, like a negative impact on himself and others. Can't wait to see it happen because I know it will. Also, interesting enough, he apparently tweeted sometime last year, I think, that he said, if the president them free me.
The president them. Nigga, these is not your cousins. Fuck do you mean?
I don't think I processed that the first time I read this tweet. So I was just reading it like the words of
in front of the president me. And his niggas. You know, I don't know who all is involved in the process.
Because he legit put T H E N. At least he spelled it. He said, if the president them free me, I'm going to spend $1 million on charity within the first year I'm out. That's on everything. Interestingly enough, now that he's out, that tweet has disappeared. So I heard that he did something, some form of charity.
What?
But I don't know if that was true or not. Either way, it wasn't no damn million. And the alleged pledge that he made back in November or whenever this was has disappeared.
Oh, I bet it has. I bet it fucking has.
I mean, when Kodak Black said charity, he likely meant Onyx and Wingstop.
Yeah, charity is the name of somebody.
J.R. Crickets, honestly.
His favorite stripper is Charity. And he is ready for them cheeks. I'm sure that's what he fucking meant. But I did see that, you know, the president could only commute his federal sentence, and he's still up for a lot of other fuckery in South Carolina and other places. So hopefully he's on his way right back. Just
a sexual assault cart. Sexual assault charge at that.
Yeah. So you can go, actually. Yeah.
His ass is not out of the fryer yet. So, as I said, I'm sure he'll be spending all of his time on Lemon Pepper Wet until they get him back into the system.
Yeah, enjoy it now while you fucking can.
He'll likely snatch up a brand new charge before they start addressing that shit.
Would not be shocked. I did see a tweet that said maybe that's why Lil Wayne sold his masters to pay for his pardon. And I thought, that's interesting. That's interesting. Because you're not supposed to be able to pay for a pardon, but it's Donald Trump. So I would not be surprised if Lil Wayne wired him several millions of dollars in exchange for his freedom.
I read that Wayne's lawyer was like, oh, no, child, that had absolutely nothing to do with my client.
Mm-hmm. What interesting timing, though. Donald Trump. What interesting timing, though.
He would never, ever look in the face of true integrity and black manship.
Don't do this.
Like, whatever, girl. Say it's fine.
We don't believe that about Lil Wayne. Yeah, you're going to have to say that about some other nigga.
You got your part, nigga. Don't push it.
Go somewhere and go comb them fucking locks out.
That's...
The first thing you need to do, you need to find one of them wizards who can detangle what you have done to your head or just shave it all together, because it's a mess. It's back there.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's it for the
y'all
hot
know what
talks.
It looks like.
Before we move on, this week we've got some Kid Fury sports shorts, and they're extra short this week because all I've got to say is that it's all-star voting season, ladies and gents. That's right. Beginning today, Thursday, what? January, whatever, you can start voting for your NBA all-star through the app or through NBA.com. Up until February 16th.
What?
Yep. Vote for your NBA All-Star, bitch. The baddest in the land.
Is this an ad?
And in fact, the NBA says
an ad.
That they're discussing a potential NBA All-Star game to happen sometime around March.
Why?
Because sports. And also tourism. I heard that they're looking at Atlanta to be the place to do it.
No, please. The infection rate is out of control in Atlanta. Please.
Make sure that you vote for your absolute favorite NBA All-Star. It's very important because it shows morale for the nation. And also, pretty much all of the players that get voted into the All-Star get like 10 to 20% off from the weed and Molly man in whatever city the All-Star is at.
Well, that is a deal.
And that goes a long way, especially if you like cheating on your wife or doing something like that. So it's very important to get those things in. So personally, for me, I suggest voting for LeBron James and or Dwayne Wade because I like both of their wives. And I know their names.
Isn't Dwayne Wade retired?
But here's the thing about that. Dwayne Wade can come back as an All-Star because you can do that.
What?
You're allowed to because what happens is we're in an era where everyone changes all the rules.
For
you know what I'm saying?
Retired player.
The Senate, the House.
All-Star weekend.
The Supreme Court. Or the NBA. No. It doesn't matter. You change the rules all you want to. So that's it for the sports shorts this week. Make sure you get out there and push the vote to help lower the weed and the Molly prices in Atlanta so much. Okay, guys. Thanks so much for listening. This is where we take a break and then we're done. Yep. Okay. So we all chew gum, but not all gum is created equal. Some might come in fancy packaging, but they only cover up your bad breath. Or they're loaded with sugar that can destroy your teeth. Luckily, oral care experts at Quip have made a gum that stands out from the pack. One that can help prevent cavities. You heard me right. And it tastes great. It was only a few short years ago that Quip reinvented the toothbrush for the modern age. They've done it again, this time for chewing gum. They've launched a new gum that's actually good for your oral health and comes with a dispenser that reminds you with one click. It's like one of those candy thingies that you click to, like, I don't know, you know, but yeah. I'm not going to say a brand name.
But you remember that thing.
Yeah. The Slim Travel Ready Dispenser packs and protects up to 10 gum pieces at a time, and it fits just about any purse or pocket on the go. And in a world where we all need to be extra safe and hygienic, the quick release button means you can still share with friends without wrappers, hands, or hassles in the way. Spread good oral health habits this season. And join the over 5 million mouths already using Quip, including mine own. Get chewing for less than $2 per gum pack. And if you go to getquip.com/the read right now, you can get a free plastic dispenser with any refill. That is a free dispenser at getquip.com/the read, spelled GETQUIP.com/the read. Quip, the good habits company. Let's get back to our show. Okay, so it is now time to read your listener letters.
Yes, it is. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We may read
Bow them. Wow Palooza sent me. Like, it just kept like that. That was wide open.
Not you still thinking about it. Oh, okay. So yes, asktheread@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Our first one this week, you know what? Let's just go straight from S. This comes from Please. Eric. And Eric says, one of my good friends, Sean, texted me the other day venting and asking for advice about his husband, Chris. Chris and Sean have an open relationship, but lately Chris hasn't been very open with Sean about how much he flirts around. Sean told me how his work schedule has negatively impacted his libido and recent weight gain on top of that makes him feel insecure and unattractive. Meanwhile, his husband, Chris, has been hiding what he does on his phone and has been posting nudes in exhibitionist sharing groups online. This is a fact that Sean was aware of and was okay with when he knew exactly what was going on. However, all of this was news to me. Sean doesn't know it, but occasionally Chris sends me his nudes. Sometimes I even send my own nudes back to him and we end up having a full sexting conversation.
record scratch.
It was my understanding that their relationship was open and sexting with other people wasn't a problem. When Sean finished venting to me, he let on that despite all of this, he isn't worried about the state of his marriage, and I was relieved to hear it. However, I didn't tell him that his husband, Chris, and I have sexted on numerous occasions, and I decided that moving forward, I will not entertain any kind of sexual conversation with his husband again. Before that point, we hadn't sexted in probably 2 months, and 9 times out of 10, he initiates the DMs anyway. So I figured this would all be done and we could all just move on. A month later, Sean and I were having a regular text convo, and I got a DM from Chris during that conversation. I did not open it for fear of what would be in there and the internal moral debate that would ensue. To this day, I still have not opened that DM. Is there some dick in there?
Pretty much.
My question is, am I right to let this whole situation go and never bring it up to my friend Sean if his husband never sends me another dick pic again? If I do get another dick pic, how should I go about telling Sean about his husband? Thanks, and please stay safe out there, Eric. He also included some information.
Please stay safe out there. Right.
So he also included that he used to date Sean very briefly, years before he got married.
Aha.
And the husband, Chris, he has made out with while Sean was in the room.
Okay.
So... yes, in case that changes your answer in any way.
It doesn't.
I didn't think it would.
Okay. I will say your answer, in my opinion, lies in the fact that you've already defined Chris's behavior, because I'm not surprised if I got the names mixed up. Chris is the one who's doing the janky shit behind.
Yeah, Chris is the... right. Yeah.
You've already basically clocked that as deceitful, right? So this means that you recognize he's doing something wrong, whether they're in an open relationship or not, which is confusing to me, because if they have been in a place before, I've never been in an open relationship before. If they've been in a place before where this was something that they were cool with, I don't understand the lack of conversing about wanting to continue doing it, even if it's a one-sided thing for a while or whatever. Obviously, it sounds like Chris is aware that Sean is not, you know, with the shits right now. And so, you know, he doesn't want to slow or change his sex drive or sex life around just because of what Sean is dealing with. But again, if they've not, I don't understand why they would not have a conversation about that. If maybe Sean is like, maybe having a conversation about his insecurities is difficult for them. Like, I don't know what it is, but either way, he's being dishonest, period, already. And I would struggle with not saying something to my friend about that. Period. You know, like, if I wasn't involved. But here you are, having been involved a number of times. I'm not going to say that your friend shouldn't know. I think that there are many other people, especially gays, that would, you know, just act like it never happened and leave it alone and, you know, hope that it never comes out at brunch. But I think that, again, I don't know. It's like, I want to assume that if you're in an open relationship, or if you're open enough for something like that, that you should be open enough to like talk about things.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the secrecy is the problem.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I don't understand why it's so necessary. Again, never been in an open relationship. And I know that, you know, they're all different and everyone has like their different likes and dislikes and triggers and traumas and all kinds of stuff. So, but the thing is, like, again, if you're in a situation where the two of them have sent nudes, received nudes from each other. You've dated him. He's seen you make out with his husband and stuff like that. Then why can't nobody be like, hey, so just so you know, here's why this is going on. How do you feel about that? What do you want to do moving forward? Maybe I'm being a bit naive and acting like it's easier said than done. I don't know. But I just don't understand why. It's just very unfair to leave him in the dark, especially knowing that you have been involved this whole last time. Like, that's deceitful, it's fucked up. And I don't think using the excuse of, oh, well, they're in an open relationship and we've made out before in front of him is okay. Like, that's like fuckboy logic, to be honest.
I mean, yes, I agree, because there's just a few things here that make me question the entire situation. I think first being, I have to imagine that Sean is more of your ex than he is your friend. Because although I know a lot of people blur the lines between like friendships and sexual relationships, and this is not like all that uncommon, mm-hmm. I can't imagine sexting my friend's husband, sending him photos of my genitals, and not ever saying nothing to that bitch about it.
Yeah.
That's just not, it's something about that don't curl all the way over for me. I also have never been in an open relationship, but one thing I know is that the niggas who do it, you know, ethically, are always talking about how like honesty and respect is the whole thing. And
right.
Like, you have to be able to communicate openly and all that shit. Like, healthier shit than what most people are even capable of doing.
Very true.
Yeah, the fact that he's being all secretive about it and, I don't know. I think if you really believed that you didn't do anything wrong or that you and Chris, y'all's relationship was inappropriate in some way, then you would have said something. Either you would have said it the first time he sent a dick pic and y'all started sexting, or you would have said it when Sean first opened up to you and was like, yeah, I'm stressed because this nigga is acting janky. Like, I think deep down, you know, you fucked up here. And I don't know. So the question is like, am I right to just let it go and never bring up the situation as long as I don't get another dick pic? But I don't see that anybody ever told Chris to stop sending you his dick, because Sean right. don't even know that that's going on.
Right.
So that dick is like, probably sitting on Instagram right now waiting on you to open it up. So
right.
I just think you need to be honest with your friend and yourself about what's really going on.
Yeah, I think that you definitely know that aside from whatever the parameters of his relationship used to be or usually are, right now he's in a place where some shit like this is going to affect him differently. And y'all basically want to still engage in whatever your sexual desires may be without considering how he feels about it. And I think another part of it that's kind of irksome is that, like, he might not even give a fuck.
He really might not.
So to not even give him the respect of being like, yo, so, hey, here's the thing that's going on, is like, really? Like, nobody has time for this bullshit, especially right now. So I'm not, I want to say you are right to just act like it never happened and move on. Will I be surprised if you do? No. I won't call for a hanging. It's not, you know, not some wild thing that never happens or whatever, but is it fucked up yet?
Yeah. So good luck to you, Eric, as you figure that messy shit out. We started with the gays, so now let's move to the lesbians.
Fun.
This one comes from Viva, who says,
of course it does.
What a name. My best friend Carrie decided she wanted to dissolve our friendship because of a comment I made on Facebook.
Dissolve our friendship. This is such lesbian already.
Her ex-girlfriend, Maya, who I've actually known longer than I've known Carrie, posted a picture of her new fiance a couple of months ago. Maya and Carrie broke up at least 3 years ago. They are both in relationships with new people, and from my understanding, their breakup was amicable anyway. The caption on the photo of Maya's fiance started with, "In the middle of a Panda Express, I met you." Which, I'm just going to take a slight detour here real quick. The fact that you met somebody at the top of the pandemic and y'all are engaged is peak dyke activity.
Okay. Like, it's so lesbian.
Back to the letter.
Yeah.
So she saw the caption and then said, so I commented and said, well, as the saying goes, one panda don't stop no show. LOL. I'm so happy for you. Wait, get it?
Doesn't go
in the middle of a Panda Express. One panda. No, it doesn't make sense. But yeah. She saw panda and she said, oh, I know a phrase with panda in it. So yeah. There we are. Mm-hmm. I texted Carrie over the weekend just to say hi, and she didn't respond. I didn't think anything about it because she's busy, I'm busy. But yesterday, I got a very long text from her telling me that I'm disloyal, and it was clear that my comment on Maya's Facebook photo was about her. She mentioned that I've never been publicly happy for her relationships and that she and other people thought that I was trying to throw jabs at her with my comment. Honestly, I did not even think of Carrie when I commented because the two of them broke up so long ago and I don't know much about their past or current relationship because Carrie has never shared any of that with me and I haven't pushed her to do so. I apologize for hurting her feelings and told her that I understand she needs space, but that I feel a way because she went to somebody else instead of me and let it simmer I feel a way because she didn't come to me when I posted the comment. Instead, she let it simmer and talked to others about the situation.
Right.
Then made the decision to end the friendship without saying anything to me about how she felt.
Right.
I felt like I deserved at least a conversation before she made a decision that drastic. Assuming I'm disloyal because of a Facebook comment is pretty stupid to me anyway, because I'm not the type to be petty on social media. I'm giving her the space she requested, but I honestly don't know if our friendship will be worth resuming. Am I wrong for feeling bamboozled? Yeah. What would you do in this situation? Thanks, Viva.
I mean, bamboozled, I don't know.
Bamboozled is quite a word for that ass.
Right. I don't know about that. I feel like you kind of hit the nail on the head for me when you said, like figuring out if it's even worth, you know, trying to maintain or resolve or whatever. Some people go through all kinds of eras in their lifetime, and sometimes yours just doesn't really mesh with your friends anymore or family members anymore, and that could be temporary, it could be permanent. It just is what it is. And you know, obviously, this girl is very sensitive about what's going on over there. She's human. However, I understand being upset about not being approached and confronted about it personally from her. Like,
yeah.
I always, if I consider you a friend for real, I prefer you to... Because I don't have a problem having uncomfortable conversations, and I don't really have a problem arguing. And I don't feel like just because we yell at each other, it means we're never going to speak to each other.
Right.
I think that people look at arguments like if we fight or if we argue, it's going to be the end of our relationship or whatever. And it's like, no, sometimes you just, like, it's human. Sometimes you yell. It's not ideal. But sometimes you get into an argument that's heated. Sometimes you get into an argument that doesn't have an immediate solution. But, like, speaking and communicating to one another, the two who have the issue, or three or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's more important and effective, in my opinion, than stewing on it and then going and running your opinion of everything and your feelings dry with everyone else. By the time you go and sit down with the person you have a problem with, you don't even give a fuck about talking about it anymore because you don't talk about it 17 times with everybody the fuck else. You don't even have anything to say at that point. So then the discussion that should have happened is dry as fuck and unproductive. And then the girls feel like, you know, Issa and Molly, and we just like, what's going on? It's like, yeah, I totally get, you know, wanting for someone to come to you, even if you do sit down with it. Because sometimes people need their space to, like, figure out how they feel and how they want to approach it. But to just be like, oh, bitch, I'm not your friend no more and I'm not trying to hear you out at all. Goodbye. Yeah. Good riddance. It's like, maybe that's a good thing then. Like, maybe we shouldn't be friends. Like,
yeah, because that's the way you childish. View
friendship. Right.
Because you made up your mind about this comment, which one panda don't stop no show, LOL, is just not targeted enough for me to be like, I'm no longer going to speak to my best friend on this earth. It's just not. Yeah. It's just not. Especially with all the other information about how long ago they broke up and, you know, that whole situation. I don't know if maybe they were still messing around until she met this new fiance. No clue about, you know, what other feelings your friend might have been experiencing. But I think you deserved better than her choosing to talk to everybody else but you about it. And then once she got around to you being like, well, me and other people feel like you was doing this. When right. when you saw the comment, you could have just texted me and been like, are you saying I'm the panda that was going to stop her show? Like, this could have been cleared up in 15 minutes if you were an adult, but you're not.
I know she said other people.
The fuck is this? Right. I would be deeply irritated by that. And
yeah,
that whole... so yes, the space is good. Like, I think that's really great. Everybody come back with a calm head and talk about it again. But I think you can also very, you know, calmly and politely or respectfully have this conversation and still decide that this is not somebody you want to have as a friend.
True. So very true.
Take this space and then really think about it. Like, the good that this relationship brings you, whatever stress it may cause you. Has she done something stupid as fuck like this before? And then also, when she comes back, is she coming back with a genuine yep. apology? Is she coming back like, yep. oh my God, my nigga, I fucked up. I was deep yep. in my feelings because of this, yep. this, this, and this. And then I saw your comment and I just lost it. And I am so, like, her, yeah. the way she comes back to you when y'all decide to speak on it again is going to mean a lot, I think. Yeah. But you also, you know, if you come to the conclusion all by yourself that you really don't want to be bothered, that's valid too. Because she was the mm-hmm. one who came out the gate like, oh, well, we're not friends anymore. Bye. Like,
right.
Are you 8 years old?
Like, I'm assuming she's single and, you know, is sensitive about perhaps. The fact that, you know, her ex is married and she's not mm-hmm. yet or something like I'm assuming that that's what the sensitivity is about. And that's, you know, human. And ideally, y'all will eventually have a conversation where she will apologize and say, look, I was feeling in my feelings about that when I saw that, you know, I saw that nigga in her tux.
You got sick. You started like, feeling I just, sick.
I didn't even mean to come at you like that. And y'all could just sort of have a come to like a common understanding of what right. was going on and how everyone was feeling. And you can also address like the method in which you communicate with one another when you have disagreements. So like moving forward, let's do less going around to, you know, the clubhouse and having a private clubhouse meeting and talking shit about me. How about you text me instead?
Right.
And let's just, you know,
when you see
talk
it.
To each other.
Why right. didn't you just say something? Why, I don't even understand why you had to go to everybody else to see what they felt about it. And the fact that people agreed. Yeah. I just don't. Did y'all not see the whole Panda Express thing in the caption? Like, yes, her Viva's comment did not make a lot of sense. But the Panda connection, I feel... it kind of explained itself, so
right. Yeah, the joke is that it's a way to say pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and which everyone's been doing.
Panda
so
stop no show.
Why wouldn't you immediately think that she's referencing the goddamn pandemic?
Like, oh, I get it. One pandemic don't stop no show. That's what you. That's what
right,
you're saying, sister.
The reason I said it make no sense is because she said some shit like, as they say, one panda don't. And I was like, nobody fucking says that. Like, that don't work. But I get what you meant.
I think black people say monkey. Now, my family yeah, say one monkey exactly. don't stop no show all the
exactly.
time.
No one says panda.
Yeah, y'all come back to this when you're ready to have a mature conversation. And hopefully it goes well. You won't feel like you have to break up with your best friend because that sucks. But
right.
best of luck to you. Okay. Our last question comes from Brendan, who says, I have a friend group from college that I still keep up with now that we've all graduated and moved on to different places and jobs. Every couple of months, we do voice chats online and just hang out. The problem is that now I live with my sister and I feel pressure to include her in our hangout sessions because she asks or invites herself in. My sister and I are very close, so at first I didn't mind letting her join, but sometimes I just want to hang out with my friends without having to include her. When she's on the call with us, I feel like she monopolizes the conversation and I have to compete for attention with my own friends. My friends seem to like talking to her, but I don't like that the one group of people I have outside of my family now includes her as well. My issue is that while my sister has lots of different groups of friends, I only have this one. When she and her friends chat, she invites me to join if I want, and I usually do if I'm not doing anything else, but I don't invite myself into the chat and I don't expect to be included in every single hangout that they do. When I do join them, I try not to talk over anyone or take up too much of the conversation in general. I feel like I'm being childish by being this possessive about my friends, but I just want to hang out with them without the added expectation of having to include my sister and without having to compete for attention. I know I should just set a boundary and tell her that I don't want her to include herself in our hangout sessions, but I feel like all the reasons I listed for feeling this way sound silly and selfish. What do you guys think? Am I being childish or should I just have a talk with my sister about this and set it straight? Thanks, Brendan.
I don't.
This is such a COVID question. We would have never gotten this letter a year ago. Right.
I don't think it's childish. I think that you actually point at, like, you make a good point. Like, it's kind of like a thing that right now is very, like, I feel like it could define your feelings about it specifically based on socialization or lack thereof right now. Mm-hmm. If that makes any fucking sense.
Yep.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this to your sister, personally. I don't expect that. I mean, I don't know what her reaction to it may be, but I don't think that it's unfair, personally, you know, because sometimes the vibe you want is the vibe you want, you know? And if your sister has a gang of other friends, then I don't really understand what the harm is in being like, hey, girl, let's do this thing over there. Because some people have smaller groups and need their little release, their little, you know, ghetto mimosa time, like I do, where I put my pineapple and juice into whatever fuck shit I just bought.
Some kind of liquor doesn't really matter.
It really doesn't. So,
there's some Tito's in there.
Right. So I don't know. Like, I feel like you could have her, like, include her just every now and then, maybe, to spice up the vibe. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, hey, girl, just gonna do something over here with us this time. And I mean, like,
yeah,
I don't, like, again, it, the reasons that you're saying sound childish, I think, can be recepted as just human.
Yeah.
I think so. But again, I don't know your sister. I would think that if it's like no biggie and she's not stressed to, you know, have a shoulder to lean on or a glass to clink or whatever, that, you know, she'll be fine with it. But I don't know what, like, I don't know what the perspective would be if she had a problem with it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what she would, like, if you were honest with her about this, I don't know why she would be upset or, like, what the problem would be.
Right. I think maybe you're kind of scared of hurting her feelings by saying, I just want to hang out with my friends, you know, without you, sister. But you know, your sister's an adult and she can handle being told no. I don't think, I mean, whether your reasons are silly or selfish or whatever doesn't really matter, because ultimately they're your friends. She has friends. It's not like this is her only opportunity for socialization. And honestly, maybe she's fucking tired of the pandemic, so she's jumping on every fucking Zoom, Duo, all the fucking Clubhouse. She on everything all day long just to get some interaction with other people. I don't know. But you've kind of, I don't think it matters if your reasons are silly or childish, because they're your reasons and you should be able to talk to her about exactly. it. If for no other reason, then you have worked yourself up into like feeling resentful and being like, well, this bitch always monopolizes the conversation. And she, my friends, right. she's taking my friends away. And like all this, you have worked yourself up to like resenting her for something that she doesn't know is a problem. You've never told her, hey, no, like I just want to right. I just want to hang out with them by myself tonight, you know, we'll see you in a couple of weeks or something.
Right. I mean, I know that like a lot of the dynamic between some certain friendships and groups right now is different just because a lot of people have had drastic changes happen in their life within right. the past year, whether losing a job or a family member or a relationship
or
whatever, or their fucking mind. Yes. Like, you know, just because she has other groups of friends doesn't mean that those other groups of friends are the best time or the best vibe or even healthy. However, I do still think that Chris will say your feelings are your feelings and they don't have to be like super mature for them to be valid. And also, like, personally, I feel like it's fair to just be like, it's different when my sister is in my group of friends. Like, blend. Like, I wouldn't want to just hang out with my brother and my brother's friends all of the fucking time. Because he's going to be my little brother
right.
around his friends. Versus when I'm not around them. You know what I'm saying? Where he can just be adult-ass grown him. Because my brothers are, you know, all over 20. They're all adults. Mm. So, like... And I still, when I hear them cuss, be like, excuse the hell, are you out of your damn, like, my brother's going to turn to me, I'm 30 years old, shut the fuck up, you know what I'm saying? And I cuss all the time, I don't cuss at home, and I don't cuss in front of my brothers or my parents at all, but they know I cuss, obviously, but sometimes right. when I hear them cuss, I'd be like, who in the hell do you like? So I'm not even saying that that's the relationship that you have with your sister, obviously, but like, it's fair for you to be like, girl, I just want to have some time with my friends and just talk without, you know, being, you know, a big or a little sibling.
Right. Or, you know, maybe I can open up to my friends in certain ways that I don't feel comfortable opening up, you know, around my sister or anything.
Right.
It's okay to have a different kind of relationship with your friends than what you have with your sibling. Right. Like, I feel like that kind of goes without saying. So, yeah, you just gotta say, listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings at all. So I really hope that this doesn't hurt you. But I just want to hang out with my friends, yeah. you know, by myself without having to be Brendan, you know, Lisa's sister or whatever. I forgot that fast what your sister's name is. But yeah, you know, I think maybe you're afraid of her reaction to that, but if your sister is a reasonable person, she should be able to understand that. So,
and I mean, if all else fails, sugarcoat the fuck out of it. I mean, just sweeten it up, like be super, I'm so sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings at all. You know, I love you more than ever. Like, just make it. Mm-hmm. Extra bubbly in its delivery or whatever, so it's like incredibly clear that you're considering her feelings versus just being like, bitch, lose my number.
We live in the same house, but never speak to me again.
Right. So yeah,
there's an adult, you might feel like your feelings are childish, but there is an adult way to approach this situation, and then you can, I mean, and she'd probably be like, okay, nigga, you could have just said that. Like,
right, exactly.
I was just jumping on the Zoom because I like to play Zoom games. Like, I wasn't, you know, was not trying to take over your friends, you know, my
much
bad.
Like the friend who's getting nudes from his friend's husband. Right. Sometimes people will shock you. Sometimes they're like, mm-hmm. you be doing the most and getting yourself into trouble that you wouldn't get into if you would have just said something in the first
Amen.
Place.
Amen.
And niggas wouldn't have never been had a problem with you, but now they have a problem with you because you're being deceitful.
Yes.
Like, just say it. Something. Give the person a chance to surprise you, bitch.
Yes. Give people a chance to be, to prove you wrong.
Right.
I mean, she might not, but give it a shot.
I'm not saying she will. I'm just saying it's worth a shot.
All right. That is going to wrap up the listener letters this week. If you have a question for us, send it to asktheread@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. PetSmart's associates really love pets, and caring for them is a big part of why they work there. And as an essential retailer, since the beginning of the pandemic, PetSmart has made it safe and easy for you to care for your pet too, online or in stores. At PetSmart, the health and safety of employees, pet parents, and pets are what's most important, which is why they require face coverings, support social distancing, and have installed plexiglass shields and enhanced cleaning to follow CDC recommendations. I am very, very close to getting a pet because somebody else breathing in this house, and I know that I will have my ass in all the pet stores, you know, getting her together very, very soon. But if you have a pet and you're interested in contactless shopping, just order online at PetSmart.com or on the PetSmart app and enjoy easy curbside pickup or same day delivery powered by DoorDash, free through January 31st, 2021. So you can get everything your pet needs right to your door and right when you need it. So again, check out PetSmart.com for more details. That's PetSmart.com. Do something nice for your pets. And let's move on.
So if you're looking for some new mobile fun, check out the top rated mobile puzzle adventure game, Best Fiends. It has thousands of levels plus new content that's added all of the time. You don't have to be a hardcore gamer to love this casual game. It's pretty straightforward. Whether you're an adult or a little one, you're going to have lots of fun. It's binge worthy mobile puzzle game that's free to download. It's got over 100 million downloads as is. It's rated 5 stars, and you can befriend a cast of fiends who help you solve each level and defeat the slugs, slimy but cute little bad guys, and get used to saying one more level over and over again and having your eyes bloodshot until 3 a.m. like I do every single night.
Fun times.
Download. Yep, indeed. Download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Fiends, like friends, but without the R in it. So Best Fiends, go check it out on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
It is really fun.
And yeah, let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back and it is now time for the read. I will just go ahead and get these few things out of the way. Okay. I just have three very fast things I want to say. One, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an absolute disgrace and a mutant. And has no business being in politics of any kind.
True.
Get her out of here. I don't understand how this is happening right in front of people's faces. Get that. Wow. Okay. So one. Two, I've been binge watching Community again because it's one of my favorite shows ever in the world. And I haven't been watching it. I haven't watched it in a while. So I decided to go back through it. I'm watching it on Hulu. And I just reached the end of season 2, where they referenced an episode, which was a parody of Dungeons and Dragons from earlier in the season. But the thing is, I didn't see that episode, although I remember it quite fondly because I've seen it many times. It wasn't anywhere for me to find on the streaming thing. And at first I thought I was crazy, and I realized it literally was just removed. So I figured that they probably removed this particular episode because, quick synopsis, the community college study group is rallying around to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with a fellow college student of theirs that was feeling suicidal because he was being picked on for being fat, right?
Lord.
And one of the characters played by Pierce, who is pretty much one of the characters named Pierce, played by Chevy Chase, is pretty much a villain at this point in the season or series. And so because he wasn't invited to play Dungeons and Dragons, he comes into the game and starts bullying and picking on this kid and saying all of these horrible things just to be mean to him, right? And the episode's meant to have it's meant to sort of address bullying and how it works in the nerd world and how it can affect people's emotions and sort of apologizing for, you know, being a part of it. It's supposed to be about bullying.
Right.
And so I figured that they probably pulled the episode from Hulu or Netflix or wherever because there are some comments and jokes that Chevy Chase's character makes that are really fucked up. Like that's the point. You know, he says really awful things to show that bitch, you're way more miserable than the person that you're bullying. But I thought probably some of those jokes did not go over too well. So I pulled out my Blu-ray set because I own it. And I popped the episode in because I wanted to watch it. Duh. This is, and y'all bitches, like smooth, what, 8-10 years ago, the girl, why do you buy all of these goddamn DVD? You can just stream it. Until they take it down for whatever the fuck reason. So I watched it. Literally before the intro, you see, what is his name who plays Chang? Ken Jeong?
If you say so.
From the fucking Hangover movies and stuff.
Oh, the doctor?
Yes, like the literal doctor, actor, doctor. Right. So he plays the character Chang, and in the, like, where they're playing the Dungeons & Dragons game, they cut to him, and he's painted in all black with, like, a little white wig on, and he's supposed to be, he has, like, pointed ears. He's supposed to be a dark elf. But immediately it looks like blackface.
Oh no.
Sort of.
Oh no.
So when I saw that shot, I remembered it and I was like, this is why they pulled this shit off of Hulu and off of Netflix. I guarantee it.
Yep.
And I Googled it and that is exactly what I read, that they pulled it because, you know, the Chang character is in blackface or looks like blackface or whatever. Even though Yvette Nicole Brown's character immediately addresses it and says something to the effect of, are we not going to address this hate crime in front of us? Something like that. So it's pointed out for being offensive while also trying to make a comment on how how much racism and colorism is in existent in like fantasy and lots of parts of nerd culture where it really is bad. So the fact that I think I'd said or had a read similar to this already for Golden Girls, because they pulled the one episode of the Golden Girls with the most black people off of Hulu because of a shot where Blanche and Rose walk into the room with mud masks on. And again, that the joke there was that blackface is inappropriate and offensive and should not happen. So it's like the fact that you pulled this for that rather than all of the other actual offensive shit that happens in the episode, which again is supposed to have a point. I don't feel like a lot of it was executed very well. I mean, I think there's even like a comment that he makes about rape or something. Like it's like not great. So I felt like it wasn't even effective in a lot of what it was trying to do, but it was aware of what it was trying to do.
Okay.
But it's again, another company that's like, just trying to sweep any possible, anything that could be, you know, a BLM protest. They're trying to like just scoop it up underneath the robe without even analyzing what it is that you're looking at. And the problem I have with that is you're not listening. You're not like paying attention to what anybody is screaming at you and has been screaming at you for the longest fucking time. Do shit that actually makes a difference. Put black and brown people in positions to call shots and to have power. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because like when you just do the shit where it's like, oh, if we don't cast a black person or an Asian person or whatever, then, you know, they're going to, you know, hashtag us and not come to the Academy Awards or whatever, whatever. So you do little weird scuff shit like this that doesn't make any fucking sense. And you pull shit down for no fucking reason just because you're afraid of backlash. Not of like actually being racist, not because of like actually not being inclusive or whatever. Just anything that could possibly turn into a PR disaster, you're snatching it down. And that to me is just tone deaf. It's really ridiculous. And bitch, at the end of the day, y'all be pulling down some shows and episodes and stuff that's actually really fucking funny because you missed the whole ass point. Like, what?
I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
The last thing that I wanted to say is for the cereal companies. I might save this one for next.
The cereal companies.
I take snacks very seriously. And cereal for me is included in snacks.
Okay.
I have never been a fan, really, of cereals that have marshmallows in them. Because, first of all, why are they called marshmallows? They're like freeze dried or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like eating chalk. They are heinous. Like, I've never liked them. Right. But of course, they've been stuck in every fucking kid cereal since the beginning of time because, you know.
Sugar and children.
So there, I don't know how long it's existed, but there's a Frosted Flakes now that includes marshmallows. And I want to say that y'all are out of order. You've gone like too far. This is disgusting. Gross. And here's the thing. For me, like, I've had cereal with marshmallows in it before, and there are actually a couple that I don't mind. But the cereal has to sit a bit so that the marshmallow can kind of soften. If you will eat like Lucky Charms or one of those things straight up out of the milk and bite into that fucking marshmallow the way that it is, bitch, you're a vampire or some other word. Like, you're not of this world. Mm. Like, you can't. Like, I don't understand how anybody just eats that shit right up out the plastic. I don't get it. So, but the thing is, everyone knows that if you put Frosted Flakes in milk, you have to eat it right the fuck away. Frosted Flakes is not a cereal that can sit alongside marshmallows so that things can be balanced out. If you wait for the marshmallow to be at its peak, you know, texture, by that time, the Frosted Flakes are all mushy and disgusting. Who the fuck's goddamn idea was this? This is wrong. It is wrong. Stop it. You don't need to put marshmallows in every cereal. My God, y'all have gone too far. And I'm done.
You have got this down to a fucking science.
I can go on for another 45 minutes about this. Like, I am dead serious.
How dare they?
There is an art and there is a science and there is a culture behind cereal. If you take it seriously, like not just, oh, you know, I have a little here and there sometimes when I'm binge watching. No, bitch, I have no less than like 10 boxes of cereal on my person right at this moment. Mm-hmm. All different kinds. Because I enjoy it. And this is just a crime against food. So I don't understand who came up with this or why they felt like it was a good thing to invest their money in. I ask that you take it back. Because, wow, that is disgusting. I cannot imagine eating, just like scooping up Frosted Flakes with marshmallows in it and just crunching into both of them. That is just violent.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I'm finished.
I mean, did Frosted Flakes need additional sugar anyway?
No. No,
it
didn't.
I think they did.
It really didn't.
I did not think they did. So.
It didn't. That's another thing. You know what? You started me back up. Like, let me just go ahead and gas her again. Gas her right back up and hit the pavement. Frosted Flakes is a classic. Like, she's one of the reliable bitches that needs no adjustment.
Yeah.
Frosted Flakes quite literally doesn't need anything else.
Nope.
And some of the girls, you know, may put some fruit in there or some other kind of granola, maybe something like that to jazz her up. Fine. But Frosted Flakes, much like a cinnamon toast, much like a honey nut, you can just eat that out the pack. It doesn't need to be jazzed up whatsoever. It's a classic reliable moment. You save that experimental shit for when y'all be trying to make cereal out of like Airheads and fucking Snickers bars and whatever the fuck else. You know, all of that. And I will try it. But like, I will. But like, taking the classics and deciding to, you know, bastardize it and do whatever weird mutated shit, I want you all to slow down and consider your decisions because it's getting outrageous. It's getting outrageous.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Thank you for getting that off your chest. Mm-hmm. I just have two very quick things this week. First of all, the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's tragic, sudden, crazy death was a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And in advance, Vanessa asked the NBA to not do any tributes for him this year and said something about, you know, how she's obviously still really fucking grieving and emotions right. are all over the place. And so, you know, as this man's wife and mother of his like 18 children, I feel like the NBA was like, of course, you know, whatever Vanessa wants, like we will honor
right.
it. However, the same did not go for you niggas. And it's crazy because Vanessa did not actually ask the regular ass fans to not post tributes. She asked the NBA and its teams because they mean something. She did not ask you random ass people with Instagram accounts to withhold your love for Kobe on this day. And yet I saw so many niggas, like nigga after nigga, talking about fuck Vanessa Bryant. That bitch could eat a dick respectfully. Kobe was a fucking legend. Kobe was God. Kobe was my dad. Kobe was the GOAT. And well, I'm a fucking show love. It's Kobe nigga all day. Kobe. And once again, you really can't read, because if you could, you would see that she asked the NBA to refrain from posting tributes. She did not ask regular fans to do that, probably because she knows y'all are going to do it anyway. However, the decent thing would be to not tag that woman or her grown ass daughter in your posts about her dead husband.
Yeah.
The decent thing would be to have your tribute on your social media. And then you say what Kobe meant to you as somebody who did not actually know him, which, you know, you're not in the minority there. Most of the people did not have a personal relationship with Kobe Bryant.
Exactly. How are you going to tell this lady how to move, speak, or feel?
Like what? They ain't been together since she was 17 years old.
Are y'all serious?
Niggas. I was truly disgusted because can't read. But also acting like you are entitled and you should be like, I should be allowed to have access to this man. Like, you didn't actually know him
at all.
That was her husband.
And her child.
You were a fan. And that is it. You don't know him. You were a fan and that is it. If you had a Kobe Bryant story, it's the Kobe Bryant story. She had a Kobe Bryant life.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
She carried Kobe Bryant around in her body and then pushed him out.
All of his children that belong to her. Yeah. So what?
They don't know you. It's weird.
And they will never know you.
It's weird.
Talking about, well, Vanessa could just log off. As if y'all are not going to do this every fucking day anyway. As if y'all have not done it every fucking day anyway.
Wow.
So that was first. Secondly. Wow. The drama between Meg and Tory Lanez was ignited unnecessarily this past week after a rumor went around saying that the charges against that little nigga had been dropped, along with a screenshot, you know, showing no upcoming court dates. And honestly, rumors start on the internet all the time about different stuff. So I wasn't really surprised by that. However, I was surprised that Complex decided to run with the rumor and publish a whole ass story. And I know it because I clicked the link and read the entire thing because I just knew. I said, Complex has been around for a long ass time. There is no way Complex posted this and did not actually do the necessary fact checking. That is required for any journalistic outlet when talking about a story, especially one that is about an ongoing legal matter. I just knew. And yet I read through the whole thing and it read like it was supposed to be on an Instagram blog. And it was just, it looks like, according to this same dusty ass screenshot, that the charges have been dropped and this, blah, blah, blah. So once I think once Complex ran with it, I really started to see it kind of snowball and go everywhere. And I'm like, too many people here are not putting two and two together. But the problem is that an outlet that people assume they can trust decided to publish this story without actually knowing what the fuck they was talking about. In reality, the charges against that little nigga have not been dropped. The date was rescheduled for sometime in February, and Megan could not have even dropped the charges if she wanted to, because Megan is not the one who pressed the charges.
Right.
Fucking LA County did. So Complex was wrong for that, as was all the other blogs and websites that decided to run with the story as if it was fact. Because Complex initially did not say, oh, allegedly this happened. They talked about it as if it had actually happened. So, of course, Megan said something like, and I really, my heart broke for her because I 100% believe that the seeds of this came from somebody associated with that leprechaun ass nigga. But they immediately, you know, did a whole retraction, and then they published a story talking about Megan goes off after fake story comes out. And I'm like, this is really wild to me, because the fake story she's going off about is you. You're it's you who did it. And yet y'all are sitting here talking about her tweets as if your website was not the biggest perpetrator of this fucking lie. I was going to let it go, though. I said something about it on Twitter. Basically, stop hiring bloggers to do a journalist job, because as much as I love and respect blogging, there's a difference between blogging and journalism. And that difference is ethics and standards for publication.
You're literally taught those things. It's not like something you just fall into, right? Or decide.
There's a difference between blogging your opinion and reporting the news.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong, and this is what most bloggers do, with taking a story from a credible source, linking back to it, summarizing it, and then writing your opinion. Nothing wrong with that. That is how blogging works. However,
and most places today will include the word opinion in the headline, so you know right away.
Right. So there's all that. But I was gonna let it go until today, when I saw that Complex published yet another piece. This one is called "How Rap Misinformation Spreads on Social Media."
What?
It's actually not the thing about this.
Just go to the homepage.
Is that on the homepage? It probably
is. No, I said, does it just link to the homepage?
Shut up. It's actually not poorly written at all. Includes interviews from lots of smaller blogging outlets that I've never heard of before. However, at no point in this piece does the writer say Complex is part of the reason that rap misinformation spreads online? You're literally talking about this story, and
they're trolling.
None of the stories about Megan and Tory, this whole situation, none of the stories that Complex has posted mention that Complex is the reason that the shit took off. Not a single fucking one of them. And so I just don't understand, like, is it a brand new desire to not be sued? Because y'all weren't thinking about being sued when you let whoever wrote that publish it without an editor or anybody else to look over it, without a single lawyer saying, perhaps we should make sure we're not breaking the law by doing this. Like, you weren't worried about being sued then. So is it that? Are you just like fucking with us to see if can't nobody, if we don't see what the fuck y'all are doing? Apologize for your shit. I don't care how many tiny ass blogs with 5,000 followers ran with a lie when your big ass outlet did the same thing and gave a sense of legitimacy to a fake story. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves, and y'all should take accountability for the shit that you did. None of these pieces, and they all link to each other, of course, over and over and over. They link back to Complex stories about the same situation, and I have read them all, and not a single one that I have seen so far actually acknowledges Complex's role in this. Y'all really should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yikes.
And I hope she does sue, because it's just too fucking much. Don't do this whole, oh yeah, black women got to be protected, respect black women, believe black women. If this is if this is the way you're going to treat a black woman going through an incredibly traumatic experience and living it out in front of the world, Megan deserved better than y'all's bullshit.
Well,
and that's it. Somebody at Complex need to do better. I don't know if it's budget cuts, and so y'all not giving a fuck no more over there. I really don't know what it is, but Perhaps a lawsuit will help you figure out your hair from your ass. Perhaps it will.
The girls get caught up in... It's really irrelevant. It doesn't.
I mean, but and they honestly... They get caught
up in just trying to, like, be the girl who has the info up.
But like, you...
Get it out.
But you are supposed to be a reputable website.
Yeah, exactly.
And even, honestly, most of the big name bloggers know at this point that you have to be careful about saying certain shit. You have to word it a certain way if you do not actually know for a fact that what you're saying really happened. It is the basics of journalism.
I mean, I would never personally look at Complex as some place that is above this particularly, but I know, like me, but I know that, you know, many others would, you know, they don't look at Complex as like the same as an Instagram blog. Even though in many ways it is. In many ways, lots of those places are now. You know, they kind of just doing the same sort of like macro posting. No, micro. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm losing my mind. I'm finished.
I mean, yeah, they do that. They have adjusted to the digital era probably better than a lot of other media companies have. But still, Complex is fucking huge. They have been around almost 20 years. They have like 5 million subscribers and over a billion.
They have a fucking convention.
Like they have Complex TV. Like these niggas are.
They have a whole ass convention.
They are a joint venture subsidiary of Verizon and Hearst.
Yeah.
So what the fuck do you mean? Like find the budget for journalists. Learn how to fact check. Get some fucking editors.
And also, I'm so over this story anyway that, like, feel free to take the time to get the facts. Like,
Take your fucking time.
Take your time to go out there and actually learn what's going on, girl. I promise you don't need to rush a headline out about this story.
Let the gossip blogs stick to gossip, because at least they have the good sense to stick an allegedly in that bitch. Y'all didn't even do that. I was stunned when I read that shit. My nigga stunned.
Like, that is so 101, bitch. Like, are you like, whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. All y'all are losing it, just like me.
I hope Megan is doing okay, and only Megan. And that wraps up this week's episode of The Read. Hallelujah. Check us out.
It does indeed.
On social media at This Is The Read. Our website is thisistheread.com. Any news for you this week?
No, but one thing that made me smile the past week is that if...
Oh, Lord.
I figured out that if you order fries from someplace, but you don't eat them in time, you know, like when they might get kind of cold, but microwaving them is not the same. They still just don't taste
good.
Yeah,
no, definitely not.
What you like. But when you throw them in the air fryer.
I knew it. I knew you was finna say it. I knew you was finna say it. Do they crisp right back up, my nigga? Are they yum yum? You in that fucking air fryer.
I ordered a Shake Shack like 2-3 days ago.
Ooh, and they fries are good.
And I got out of bed like twice that day. And the food like came to the door and I just didn't have the energy to get up and get it for like half the day. But eventually, like when I got the fries and I was like, I know that these fries are not going to be good if I microwave them. And some people just throw them shits in the air fryer for like 4 or 5 minutes. And when I tell you, you could not tell me that them bitches didn't come fresh out of that Shake Shack grease. It was such a revelation. And now I have learned, if ever
I can't,
my fries have gone cold or I want to like get them back to their, you know, their maximum potential. 4 minutes, 5 minutes in the air fryer. It's really a magical thing. I understand that everyone without an air fryer hates people talking about their air fryer so much. And that's like the meme. I respect it. You know, all I've really made in there is chicken, fries, and pastries. Uncrustables.
Not you calling it a pastry.
I mean, they essentially are. I've transcended whatever the Smucker's bitches think that they're doing. Like, girl, I should be packaging my own shit and selling it, to be honest with you, because that bullshit that they got y'all having down there at out down there at the market from Smucker's, let me tell you something. I've already made a new one. And I'm not even going to get into how bad this bitch is. I'll save that for the future.
Oh, my God.
When I tell you that I am making magic with it, all y'all had to do was tell me that you can buy the cutter on Amazon. Changed my life. The possibilities are endless. So that's it.
I mean, it's not that I'm against air fryers necessarily. It's just a smaller, faster version of the oven I already have. So for me, I just don't have a problem cutting on the regular oven and just waiting for it to heat up. But I know a lot of parents especially be like, I don't have time for that. Throw that shit in the air fryer. And but also people cook real meals in there. And you seem to just not be, you're just not going to be doing that. You are never going to make salmon in the air fryer.
Teach their own.
And that's fine. You're right. I respect
everyone's decisions and things. And it's literally like the half air fryer, half crock pot or pressure cooker.
Really?
It's one of those things that I could like,
you could be making soup. Be
making like whole ass meals in there.
But and you're not doing none of that.
Nutella. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's all right, friend. So, you live your truth and it's fine. I'm glad the thing is working for you. Because Shake Shack fries are good and it's a shame when they go cold.
So good. Like, so good. And it is a shame when they go cold. So to be able to pull it out of that bitch and get a solid, respectable crunch, my God, I saw stars.
You could
so that
start
was good.
A whole air fryer type blog situation if you wanted to. I'm sure you
would. I hate Clubhouse because I don't get it and I don't want to, but I should probably do like live Zooms to show y'all how to make.
Oh my God. Somebody was being a fucking dick talking about you have a podcast, but you don't like Clubhouse. First of all, I talk to one person on my podcast.
Right.
And it's somebody who knows what the fuck he's talking about. Secondly, I don't like being on the telephone any fucking way.
Yeah.
Third.
With one person, much less 800.
Right. And third, y'all keep saying, oh, it depends on the room you go in. It's all about the room. And I'm sure that's true. But every time I see something about Clubhouse, it's nigga shit gone wrong. And no, thank you. I do not have the demeanor for sitting through people who are being ignorant as shit. I just don't, and I can't do it.
Honestly, most of the stuff that I saw on Clubhouse was like Black creatives talking about Black fashion or whatever industry they're in and like that whole thing. And then sometimes I would see like a book club or motherfuckers talking about what wine they're getting drunk on. And the next day. Like,
see, I need to find though. I don't know how to find them rooms.
Most of them, that was what I would see. It was just like, Black folks chatting it up.
No, my friend gave me an invite and I signed up under a fake name because I know how niggas switch up when you show up as yourself. And yeah, I've just been really not impressed with the Clubhouse experience. But if you niggas like it, I love it for you. Have fun.
Exactly. If you're having a good time, bitch, that's okay. We don't have to like it for
right.
you.
Right. I don't understand why you need my approval for your hobbies, but okay.
Especially because it does seem like it's being helpful to people. Because like, I think Ava DuVernay is even on Clubhouse, you know, chatting.
And they have done fun stuff on Clubhouse. They've done live musicals. Like they did The Lion King and all that. Yeah. It's not that it's not useful, it's just that for me it's a no. So
I can't the too much anxiety just be sitting there online.
No.
Yeah, I hate Zoom and I'd be like, I don't even have to Zoom with more than like 4 or 5 people at a time for work, so
I'd still be like, can I cut my camera off?
Right. And I'm not cutting my camera on. I don't give a fuck what you're saying. Sue me. I'm not gonna do it.
Oh, okay. Well, that is this week's episode of The Read, and we will see y'all next time.
Thanks. Bye.